So we will be Bhagavad Gita, verse 62 to 67. We will do it 62 to 67. Om Vasudeva Sutam Devam Kamsa Chanuramardhanam Devaki Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagadgurum Tameva Sharanam Gaccha Sarva Bhavena Bharata Tatprasadat Param Shantim Sthanam Pratyasi Shashvatam Iti Te Jnanam Akhyatam Guhyat Guhyataram Maya Vimrushyaita Dasishena Yathechasi Tatha Kuru Sarva Guhyatamam Bhuya Sunume Paramam Istosi me dridhamite tato vakshyamite tam manmanabhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mame vaishyasi satyam te pratijane priyosi me Sarvadharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja aham tva sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami mashucha idam te na tapaskaya na bhaktaya kadachana Nacha susrusha vivachyam Nacha maam yobhya suyati We can also chant the very last one. 78 Yatra yogeshwara krishna Tatra Partho Dhanuddharaha Tatra Shrir Vijayo Bhutir Dhruvanitir Mathir Mama The Lord is concluding His teaching and we find something very wonderful here. Having taught all the paths through which one can reach God. He is wrapping up his teachings and the ultimate advice is take shelter at my feet. So, he also mentioned it can be interpreted in two ways. That from the devotee's point of view, then I merge in you. From the jnani's point of view, then you merge into me. A devotee says, I am small, you are big, I am going to fall into you. A jnani says, I am the big, you are the small. So you merge into me. Aham Brahmasmi. So you come and fall. And if you don't fall into me, then you can disappear. Either way, one disappears. Only one remains. That is called Sharanagati. Yesterday I also mentioned four points. Sharanagati means, what is the first implication of Sharanagati? We accept our bodies. Second implication, we accept our minds. Third implication, we accept our circumstances. What is the fourth implication? That it is not sitting down. That whatever talents or potentialities or powers that God has given us, we will have to develop and employ them in the service of the Lord. The best example of Sharanagati is Hanuman. He is also an embodiment of Jnana. He is also an embodiment of Bhakti. He is also an embodiment of Karma. So, yatra yatra Raghunatha Kirtanam tatra tatra Kritamastakanjalim Bashpavari Paripurna Lochanam Marutim Namata Rakshasantakam. Hanuman is ever ready, even though he was standing there with folded hands. He was always awaiting the commandments of Rama. So that is the best ideal. That's what Swami Vivekananda curiously has come to re-establish. He told two things. The first thing he said was that for this age, Hanuman is the ideal. Because he is the samanvaya of all yogas. The second thing he said was that like Hanuman, I am Hanuman, he said. Previous birth, I had to jump the ocean. This birth, I travelled in the ships made by this Rakshasa and Co. Previously, he had to go to Rakshasapuri by jumping. Now he got the first hand experience of all the problems he could encounter. So this time he said it's far safer to buy a ticket and to travel by the ships. And then he gave them that knowledge. But he is a Hanuman of whom?
Sri
Ramakrishna. Hanuman is the servant of Sri Rama. Whereas Swami Vivekananda is the Hanuman of Sri Ramakrishna. Why? He was chosen to be a messenger to Sita. Who is Ramakrishna? Paramatma. Where do we live? We are all Sitas. Where are we living? In the land of Ravanasura. And where is this headquarters of Ravanasura? Don't quote me. Or Swami Adishwanda said, New York is the headquarters of Mahamaya. So, as I said, don't blame me. That's what he said. You can sue him if you want. So, this world, the samsara itself is Ravanapuri. Who was Swami Vivekananda? Hanuman. So he has come with a message for all of us. How can we be rescued? Only through Hanuman. Hanuman has brought the message of Vedanta. He has not brought the message of Sri Krishna. He has not brought the message of Sri Ramakrishna. He has brought the message of Vedanta. Sri Ramakrishna is not a person who preached his own something. He preached, he was an embodiment of Vedas. So in this age, like Hanuman, Swami Vivekananda wants us to combine a harmony of yogas. Jnana, Bhakti and Karma. What about the fourth one? There are four yogas. That yoga is implied in all these things. Focus on each one of them. So why do we need these three yogas? Why do we need? First reason is we all have those faculties within us. Second is if we only use one, we can still realize God. But we could become one-sided. This is the problem with most of the other religions, non-Vedic religions. That is the problem. The problem is our religion alone can give you salvation. Means our yoga alone can give you salvation. For example, Christianity. What yoga? Which yoga do they practice?
Bhakti.
Only Bhakti yoga. What about Buddhism? Which yoga? Yes. Two yogas. Raja yoga and Karma yoga. Whereas in Hinduism, one is free to practice any particular or a combination of it. In this age, we require to combine. Then what happens? You accept everything. anybody, however weird. Hinduism, just let me briefly tell you something. In Hinduism, the more weird a person, the more he is considered as a holy person. Yeah. All smelly goat beard and all those things. Oh, he must be something, he doesn't care for the world, like that. But that also led to something extraordinary result. The result is, see, we don't know what one is doing. He may be a great holy man. So let us revere. Supposing he is not a holy man, what does it matter? He will suffer. Suppose he is a holy man, we will all get benefit. So since we don't know, we will not dictate that a holy man should dress like this, should behave like this, particular way, then we are limiting this, the expression of spirituality. That is why Hinduism's greatness is that everywhere, all the time, every century, without exception, there are saints. So what are we talking about? The points we discussed, the four implications of Sharanagati. Accept your body and improve it. That's fine. Accept your mind, manifest your hidden talents. That is fine. Accept your circumstances. That is a most wonderful advice. Why? Because anyway, circumstances we cannot change. You think you change, you never change. Look, after so many years of life, we look back and say that we could not have done. It is useless, it is pointless to regret what has happened. Wisdom lies to look forward. Okay, here I am. What best can I do? That is the best thing that can be done. So accept the circumstance. Fourth implication is what? Develop all your faculties. But there also it is implied. Harmonize your body, mind and your circumstances. If you rebel, you will be wasting your time. So, this is my body, this is my mind, this is my circumstance. What best can I do with this equipment, in this environment? That, and then dedicate it to God. It doesn't mean that you always have to think of others. And that is why Hinduism is so brilliant, beautiful, very practical. You want to enjoy? Enjoy it. You want to enjoy? Enjoy better. Hinduism says if you don't enjoy, you are not at all a human being. If you don't earn money, you are not a human being. If you don't try to become a billionaire, you are not a human being at all. What am I talking about? Purushartha. Artha and Kama. Means you have to actively say, I want Artha. I want Kama. Small joke. A beggar went to a man's house to beg. So the man opened the door and said that, you parasite, get the hell out of here. Beggar said, don't look down upon me contemptuously. After all, there is not much difference between you and me. While you are trying for your second million, I am trying for the first million. Wonderful, you know. Always look forward, but through dharmic ways. Enjoy life through dharmic ways. This is what our doctors are advising now. That enjoy, you know, you enjoy, but at the right time, the proper quantity, the proper circumstances, find out your cholesterol level, find out your blood sugar level, and then enjoy everything. Who says no? But if we really follow this advice, then we also enjoy and we also have good health and we can really enjoy life without. How many people suffer from stress, strain, all those things? Okay, these are the four implications. Brilliant examples of the Sharanagati. Prahlada, you know? Draupadi. Let me narrate this instance, because that's the subject we are going to deal. Draupadi was being insulted in the Sabha Pandavas, they were trying to remove her dress. Then she had no option, but there are the twist in the stories come like this. At first she prayed, Hey Krishna, Dwaraka Vasin, Mam Raksha Raksha. Hey Krishna, dweller of Dwaraka, come and save me. Then no reply was coming. The answer was not coming. Then she changed her prayer. Hey Krishna, Sarvantaryamin, Mam Raksha Raksha. Hey Krishna, indweller in every being. Immediately Krishna came out. How much wisdom is there even in these stories? So later on, Draupadi, she didn't understand. She asked, Krishna, when I first prayed, why did you not come? How did you pray? He said, Hey Krishna, Dwaraka was. Do you know the distance between Dwaraka and Hastinapura? Even if I hurry immediately, it will take quite a long time to come to you. But second prayer was?
Sarvantaryam.
Sarvantaryam. I am just not right. Inside you is one implication. Second implication, you know, she was trying to protect her modesty by putting her hands here when they were trying to disrobe her. Then God has given her understanding. That means what? You are putting self-effort to protect yourself. And if you surrender yourself to God, you should never do that. So she lifted her hands. I leave everything to you. Immediately God came. So how many wonderful things. In this connection, in Bhagavatam, that story, you know, Gopika Vastra Aparanam. Sri Ramakrishna gave that wonderful meaning. Why did Krishna steal? You mean to say that he was fond of stealing women's clothes? No. The thing is, those people wanted to love Sri Krishna. Offer everything, tanu, mana, dhana, everything to Krishna. But they were shy. Shy of what?
Body.
We are female, you are male. If with this kind of idea, one cannot offer oneself to God. A child, a small baby, do you think that, you say, am I dressed properly or not? And then only run to the mother? Or she just rushes into the mother as soon as she gets up from bed and immediately rushes into the mother's arms. Does the mother mind, hey, you are not dressed properly and all that? So that is God. We have to become. Second point is in this, does not God see? If you put on cloths, He doesn't see you. And if you don't have cloths, then God will see you. God is everywhere. In fact, who are you? You are God. You are thinking, this is me. No, this is not you. This is God's body. It is His body. He knows His body better than anybody else. That is why He is nobody. Nobody. So, this is an implication. When we surrender ourselves, we cannot keep any abhimana, that feeling that this is mine. Everything has to be surrendered. This body also has to be surrendered. That is the part of the Sharanagati. You accept your body, then you are in a good position. After that, you say, this belongs to you. So, these are the implication, 4 points we said. Further, we will discuss. Another example that comes to my mind is Gajendra Moksha. It's a very famous story in the Bhagavatam. Gajendra tried self-effort, but self-effort did not work. He was being drawn steadfastly. It is also a story of symbolism. All stories in Bhagavatam are stories of symbolism. Inner meaning is there. Who is the Gajendra? Tremendous devotee of God, with tremendous self-abhimana. I am a devotee. I can look after myself. So he went into the lake. That lake, what is that lake? This world, samsara. And there was one graha. What is that graha? Graha means crocodile. Ahangraha. It came and caught hold of him. It was trying to pull inside the samsara. And he was trying to pull himself out. What does that mean? A sadhaka in a particular stage, this is the biggest struggle. His pura samskara says, hey, this is you. This is your CV. Later on, he says, no, I have no CV. I have only one CV. And that CV is God. God. I belong to God. But sometimes the mind goes that way. Sometimes the mind goes this way. But gradually, the old Mahamaya is pulling him deep inside. Then he understood, I cannot do it alone. I need help. Then he left the struggle. He prayed to Lord Vishnu. Immediately, Lord Vishnu came with the chakra. Especially in Telugu, that translation is one of the most moving so far as I know.
Potana
Bhagavatam. The description goes, the Lord is sitting there and Mother Lakshmi was serving him and others were there. As soon as this piteous cries of this elephant king has reached the ears of the Lord, then the poet, he did not say, and he simply got up and ran. He did not dress, he did not inform anybody, he did not call his driver, he did not take his weapons. In his hurry to come, he forgot, he was simply running. Sirikim Japadu, Shankha Chakragadam, Chedoi Sandhim Pade. This is how the poem runs. This is one of the most marvelous expressions of how God is so eager to rush to the rescue of the devotees. Then he comes, and then of course all his ayudhas follow him. They will be with him only, because it is not something. I forgot the microphone at home, I have to go home back, come back. It is wherever he is, his own powers will be there. So the moment he killed that graha, what is that graha? Maya. Maya means attachment. He became free. Sharanagati. This is an illustration of Prahlada's story, you know, how he surrendered everything to the Divine Lord. And what about Sri Ramakrishna? In the modern times, Sri Ramakrishna came to demonstrate what Sharanagati is. His prayer, O Mother, I am illiterate. I don't know what is good, what is bad. Here is your dharma, here is your adharma. Here is your good, here is your evil. So, here is your knowledge, here is your ignorance. Only thing he said, I could not give up. Here is your truth, here is your untruth. Later on he explained, if I give up truth, my very words will become untrue. I have to hold on to truth. And the Divine Mother responded immediately. The uniqueness of Sri Ramakrishna's life is that everything was made for him. I won't go into the details. I'm just giving the hints. The temple at Dakshineswar was built for whom? For Sri Ramakrishna. And that story itself is a most marvelous story. If you want to hear next time, if there is opportunity. Then Sri Ramakrishna took up the post of the worshipping the Divine Mother. Immediately there was a wholesale transformation came over him. And then he was praying, Mother, I don't know anything. You please teach me what you want to teach me. I know nothing else excepting you, O Mother. And the Divine Mother had taught him, before any guru came, she taught him everything. Ramakrishna did everything twice. First time, without the help of any guru. Second time, with the help of many gurus. So the reason is, he wanted to prove that we should not follow his first way. Whatever comes into our mind, we will do it. We should follow a well-beaten path, well-trodden path. So we should guru what he tells, then according to scriptures we will have to follow the path, because we do not have that kind of innocence, one point adherence to truthfulness. So all the gurus came, all the materials also came to him. He never went out of Dakshineswar, and all his disciples also came, everything came to him, and he was just depending totally upon the divine mother. This is a marvelous example of Sharanagati. And what did naturally, what does he teach? Only Sharanagati. So that is what the Lord is telling here. Before that, he says here something very interesting. Verse 64. He says, Sarva guhyatamam bhuyaha shunume paramam vachaha istosi me dridhamiti tato vakshyami te hitam. You are most dear to me. Who is the most dear to God? He who accepts whatever the Lord says without second thought, he is the most dear. That means if we have doubts, first you explain yourself who you are. Second, you explain why this is so. So God says, go to the other place. I am not interested in it. Only when we come to that state, we become near. In other words, is a devotee who goes nearer to God, God comes nearer to him. And where is not God?
Everywhere.
He is everywhere. So going nearer to God means what? To realize that God is right here. You know that beautiful story? There was a devotee. He always talks to God. And he knows God is with him. How does he know? Because whenever he is walking, so there will be two pairs of footsteps.
Oh.
One is his own, but nobody sees, he also doesn't see, but he is talking to God. So once he had to go through a forest, and that was a dangerous forest full of wild animals. So he was frightened, he was praying to God, and then he entered. And to his horror, he found out that the other footsteps have disappeared. And he was telling, what type of God you are? And there was no danger. You were talking nicely and following me. But as soon as danger came, you took off. And then somehow he crossed. And then as soon as danger was crossed, again the other footsteps appeared. The devotee started, what type of God you are? When I was in danger, then you disappeared, deserted me. Then God said, my child, look carefully at those footsteps in the forest. You will see they are not yours, they are mine. When you are in danger, I took you up in my arms. But when there is no danger, now I allow you to walk on your own. So this story is very important, because many, many times, probably all the time, when we are in difficulty, we think God doesn't live. This is how we feel. God is not coming to our rescue. He always comes to our rescue. He doesn't let us know he has come to our rescue. But whatever situation he allows us, that is the best situation for our own good. We do not understand that. We have to have that faith. Whatever circumstance you create, that's for my own good. Okay. So here he is telling, I like you very much. You are most dear to me. So that is why I am telling you, Shrunime Paramamachaha, again and again and again, I am going to tell you. Not once, not twice. How many times? How many times? As many times as necessary. And this is one of the most guhyatamam, secret of the secrets. You know, what is a secret? Secret, we think that which is hidden. The real secret is, even when it is there openly, then if our inability to know that, that is called secret. I will tell you some interesting incident. I went to this Vatican, many years back. One of the friends there, he took me library, Vatican library. So many precious books, old books were lying there. So he took me to the library because he knew the librarian very well. Then I was taken to the most precious this place. The speciality of that was, all the most precious books were lying scattered on the tables. Or the third class books were tightly put in almirahs with under lock and key. Because the thieves, their idea is whatever is most precious will be locked up. So they first and they go and grab those worthless books and run. They were also old books, but not that valuable. So this is perception. This is human perception. So many times what is so obvious in front of our eyes, it remains a most hidden secret for us. Because we do not have that capacity to perceive. That this is what happened once. Sri Ramakrishna was sitting there. So many devotees came. Girish Chandra Ghosh was there. And one devotee came. He sat right in front of Sri Ramakrishna, closed his eyes tightly and was trying to meditate. Girish Chandra Ghosh gave him a good send. You stupid fellow, the being upon whom you are meditating is sitting right in front of you and you are closing your eyes. The thing is, what can he do? He doesn't know that upon the being upon whom he is trying to, he is sitting here with a smiling face and he was trying to imagine how his Ishtadevata will be smiling. This is our tragedy. Of course, without God's grace, what can we do? Same thing Sri Ramakrishna told to Latu Maharaj. Latu Maharaj was meditating on the banks of the Ganges. Sri Ramakrishna went and, my boy, that goddess upon whom you are trying to meditate is suffering in the Nahava, not able to get some help, better go and do some service to her. Then he realized. Also, there was something very interesting, nothing to do with our subject. Latu Maharaj loved Holy Mother like anything. Then later on, he told why he loved Holy Mother more than he loved Sri Ramakrishna. He said, once Sri Ramakrishna got very angry, and he told almost Latu Maharaj, get out of this place. But Holy Mother intervened. And then Sri Ramakrishna had no option but to keep him there. So he said, but for Mother, I would have been out like that. Holy Mother always is there. That's why keep Holy Mother in between. And if there is any agenda to be bet by Sri Ramakrishna, you tell, let Holy Mother beat me. That's far better than being beaten by Sri Ramakrishna. That will be the most wonderful thing to be bet by one's own. You know that story? You know, I think I told many times. There was a boy, 5 minutes to 7 in the evening one day, he was running. So he bumped into a man. And that man got annoyed. Boy, don't you see where you are going? Sorry, sir. I apologize. I am in a hurry. What is the hurry for? I have to reach home by 7. Why do you need to reach home by 7? Because my mother is waiting to beat me up. So you are so eager to be beat up by your mother? He said, no, it's not like that. If I reach after 7, my father will beat me. So, God is like our mother. That's why always, my son, this is the truth. I'm going to tell you, God loves us. One perception is that God loves only devotees. No, everybody is God's child. In God's eyes, there is no devotee, non-devotee. Everybody is a devotee. But the more we love God, the more we can manifest our divinity. That is the idea. So I am going to tell you, then what is it trying to tell you? Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji guru mameva eshyasi satyam te pratijane priyosime. The first thing it has, priyosime, you are most dear to me. Pratijane, pratijane means I promise you. This is my promise to you. I take a vow. What is that? Mame vai satyam te. I will tell you the only truth. And by knowing this truth, you will only come to me. This is an advice, most wonderful advice. What is that? Manmana bhava. Let your remembrance be with me. Manmana bhava. Let your mind be full of me only. Because we have got four faculties. So he is telling like that. Madbhaktaha, your emotion, let your emotion be with me. Let your remembrance be of me. Madhyaji, let whatever work you do, let it be a worship of me. Mam namaskuru. If you have to do namaskaram, that means if you have to respect somebody. What is real respect? To see God in the other person. We do it unconsciously. You know, if you see some great man, a professor or a music ustad or whatever, then we have that respect for him. But all that he has, what is it? It is nothing but God's manifestation of God. Where did we learn this? No? In the Bhagavad Gita itself, 10th chapter. Vibhuti Yoga. Yad yad vibhuti matsatvam srimadurjitameva va tattadeva avagachatvam mama tejo amsha sambhavam. Wherever you see a little manifestation of greatness in any field, that you know that is only a manifestation of my power, a little bit of my power. So everything, a great chemist, God's power. A great musician, God's power. A great teacher, God's power. A great student, God's power. So, a great administrator, God's power. A great king, God's power. Anything. If there is something which distinguishes a person, this person is great in some way. That greatness belongs to whom? To God. Now, you should not have the doubt that most of us are common people. So where is God coming here? This is also God. Nothing but God. What is the difference? The difference is we notice when it is a little more, immediately it comes to our notice. Isn't it? So that is why funny thing happened. Sri Ramakrishna used to visit all great people in Calcutta. He used to, but most of them never cared for him. They used to look down upon him. He is an illiterate person. He is a priest. Like that. Then the devotees used to get annoyed and say, sir, why do you want to visit? They don't respect you. He said, that's not the point. If I don't show my respect to them, mother will get angry. Why? Because it is mother's power which is manifesting in them. They do not know that. They are proud. This is my power. That is why, you know, Kalidasa, he was the greatest poet that India had produced. And some people say even in the world, greatest poet. What is his name? Kalidasa. Kalidasa means what? Kali's Dasa. How did he become? By the mother's grace, he became just in a twinkling of a second, a most idiotic person had turned out to be one of the world's greatest poet. Everything is God's grace. That is what we have to realize. That's why Saraswati, whatever, even there is no secular knowledge. Secular knowledge is also Mother Saraswati only. So, what is the Lord advising here? So anyway, your mind will be thinking. So connect yourself somehow with me. Remember me. And you become my devotee, means all your emotions. When you get angry, when you are jealous, when you are greedy, when you are fearing, when you are happy, any emotion related with God. That is how Hinduism's great claim, a person with tremendous hatred, he also attains God. How does he do that? He only linked it with God. Why all these people, I want to be angry. Should I be angry with any cockroach? If I want to be angry, why should I be angry with an ant? With a mosquito? If I want to be angry, let me be angry with God. Suppose I want to abuse somebody. Whom should I abuse?
God.
Abuse God. Yeah. Supposing he gets very angry. What a response. Instantaneous response. And then he slaps you. What will happen if God slaps you?
Moksha.
Immediate liberation. That's what you want, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. So many, many devotees, Hiranyakashipu, Kamsa, his gopis, and then Shishupala, Dantavaktra, all these people, they knew that trick. And immediately they adopted. And then immediately they got liberation. And these goody-goody devotees are still going on and on. apply.
No.
Why? Because, you know, they don't direct a little bit to God, a little bit dog.
Yeah,
dyslectic. Where are spiritual dyslectics? You know, spiritual dyslectism. An insomniac dyslectic spent his whole night wondering whether there is a dog. Yeah. Okay. Later on, you think about it. What did I say? Because I don't see any response. Did you understand that? Insomniac means what? Sleepless. Dyslectic man means what? See the words in the opposite way. So what is the opposite of dog? So insomniac dyslectic spent his whole night wondering whether there is a dog. So this is the idea, he says, madbhaktaha. So you direct all the emotions, any way they are there, any way we are using them, direct them towards. How do we direct them? This is where Sri Ramakrishna gives an example. A Brahma woman came. She was bringing up her nephew, and she really loved her nephew, but she was also a great devotee of Krishna. She wanted to think of Krishna. After putting the baby to bed, then she wants to think of Krishna. What comes to her mind? Only the nephew's face comes. So she felt bad. She went to Sri Ramakrishna and he advised. What did he advise? Renounce your nephew like virulent poison. Did he give that advice?
No.
No. He simply said that instead of thinking he is your nephew, think that he is Krishna. Anybody can do. Any mother who has got a baby can think he is the Gopala. And she did that. Within 6 months, she was blessed with the vision of Sri Krishna. Of course, we all know the story of Gopala Erma. Okay. Madhyaji. Yaji means, Yaji means worship. Whatever worship you do, is you only worship me. So how many types of worships we do? Do you know how many types of worship we do? Whenever you go in front of your boss, all wreathed in smiles, you are Indra, you are Chandra, in your own way. What is that? That is worship. Don't worship. That kind of worship, it will have its own results. But you worship the Divine Lord. You link. This is not my boss, but this is God. This is my boss. God has taken the form of my boss, my husband, my wife, my child, my friend, anything we are connected with. Anything that we do is a worship. You know, whatever a devotee does, that is worship. That's why it is said, if I talk, then that is stotra. If I move my hands, that is doing arati. If I move my legs, that is doing pradakshinam to you. If I am sitting, that is samadhi, practice of samadhi. If I am breathing, that is pranayama for you. So whatever I do, yadyat karma karomi tattadakhilam shambho tava aradhanam. It's all aradhana. This is the truth. In a devotee's eyes, nothing else exists. That is the idea. Madhyaji, mam namaskuru. Always salute me. Don't salute anything. It's whenever you salute anything, he is not saying you should not salute anybody. But when you salute, do not think I am saluting the another man or anything. You are saluting only the Divine Lord, because the Divine Lord is in everybody. So you only add 3 points here. You know, I already explained to you what is Namaha. What is Namaha? Not mine. Everything is yours. That's a Vedic. While they do Yajna, they do Namaha. After Swaha comes Namaha. So Namaha means not mine. It is your. Later on it became a matter of salutation. Like that. But in North India, two sadhus meet each other. They have a very wonderful way of greeting each other. The greeting, first greeting is Namo Narayanaya. Salutations to the Divine Lord. And the second salutation is even among only monks. Darshan saaf hai. Is your vision clear? Are you able to see the truth? Means, they ask each other. Are you able to see God in the other sadhus? That should be the ideal. We should be able to see God in everything. There is no conflict in normal things. The thing is, we think that I don't see godliness in you. But a devotee, he should be able to see God in everything. Otherwise, he is not a devotee. Otherwise, his God also is not a God. You know why? If you ask any devotee, where does your God live? What do you think he says? He is everywhere. That is the involuntarily those words come. But if God is everywhere, then what about this person? In this person also God should be there. We forget that. Ultimately, what is the aim? To be able to see God everywhere, in everything. Not to see anything, but that is called Brahma Darshana or Ishvara Darshana. Not seeing God as an object somewhere. That should be our aim. This is what the Lord is. Mam Namaskuru. What do I get? Mam Eva Eshyasi. You will come to me. Means you will become me. You will come to me. How do we understand? You will come to me. We are human beings. I come to you. You come to me. What happens? We remain separate. I am me. You come near me. But I don't become you. You don't become me. Suppose you go to fire. Stand there. Near the fire. What do you become?
Fire.
Is it not? You touch a live wire. What do you become? What do you become? Live wire. You will give shock to the other people. This is the idea of God. If you go to God, what do you become?
God.
So, you will come to me. That means you will become God. That means it, even to say you become God is non-advaita. You are already God. You don't become God because you have not become anything other than God. But you will come to know that now you will come to know that you are God. Okay. Then comes this most marvelous verse, 66. This is called Charama Shloka. Last shloka in the teachings of the Lord. Really. After that, no teaching comes. then it is also the very essence of everything. Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja aham tva sarva papebhyo moksha ishyam ma shucha. I already mentioned this word shucha, ends with shucha, starts with shocha, ashocha and anvashocha. You are grieving for whom you, and ma shucha, do not worry. Why? Because you have become me. Briefly, I already mentioned it, sarva dharman parityajya. Previously, what was he telling? Follow all the dharmas meticulously with effort. Now he is telling, give up all dharmas. So this confused many people, including monks. What does that mean, giving up, really? This is where Shankaracharya comes to our aid. He says, you see, all dharmas belong to whom? Either to the body or to the mind. And if you want to give up all dharmas, there is only one way. That is, you give up your identity with body and mind. That means if you give up your body and mind, then what remains? If you give up your body and mind, what remains? Whatever remains, that is the only reality. God alone remains. Then you say that you become one with. That is why sarva dharman parityajya. The moment you give up, that is real sharanagati. That means what? You only know one thing, that I am God. That's it. That is true sharanagati. If you become God, will there be any papa to you?
Never.
Because you don't have body, so there is no papa. If you don't have a mind, therefore there is no papa that can be done through the mind. And that is all. Pure Atman, pure consciousness alone remains. So the Lord says, moksha ishyami mashuchaha. What does that mean then? You give up all dharmas and I will save you. I will give you liberation. You will not have any papas. Do not grieve. What are all these words then? If you give up, do we need God's help?
No.
We need only God's help for what purpose? To be able to give up our idea that I am the body, I am the mind. Who can do that? None of us can do that. Unless God comes, bestows His grace and gives us that knowledge. That is what He's telling us. That you intend to surrender yourself to me. You intend to give up your body consciousness, mind. That is your part. The rest of the part is, I accept. What does that mean? It means you give me a blank check. Don't forget to put the signature. Yeah, blank check. You know blank, why blank check? You know,
because
blank check? I simply said, if you give a blank check to anybody, anybody can encash it. So if you give a blank check to God, He can encash it. If suppose you write the name, and so Tirupati Venkateshwara, payable to Tirupati Venkateshwara. And then He goes to the bank. Says, first, where is your identity? What is your name? I have no name.
Identity.
Where do you reside? I have no place of residence. Who are your parents? I have no parents. This is his address. Where is your address? I have no address. What do you want? I want to encash this check. Not possible. So blank check you give. Then you know, say, what is your name? Whatever name you want, put it. It's up to you. What name? Shall I put Govinda in this name? Yes, you can put Govinda. Govinda means what happens? Oh!
Govinda!
So, God can encash this blank check in any form. Anywhere, any bank, because blank check means it goes. Otherwise, only account holder, like that, you know, there is There is no account holder, just blank check. Write the amount. Write the amount. Did I say write the amount? No, never write the amount. Simply put the signature. Leave it. That is called Sharanagati. Then he will accept it. Then what does he do? He will release you from that feeling you are the body, you are the mind. He, unless he does it, we can't. How do you understand this? Example. What is the example? The Ramakrishna wanted to give up Brahmakara Vritti. Kaliyakara Vritti. Total self. What Totapuri was teaching him? That you make your mind blank. What means what? There will be no feeling, this is me, or anything like that. But he said, I could empty my mind, but I can't empty my mother. She is giving so much of joy. Then Totapuri says, you have to do that. Then Sri Ramakrishna took the sword of discrimination and cut Divine Mother Kali into two. So, what does that mean? Cutting the Kali figure into two means he didn't want even that thought. But the point is, how was he able to do that? The questions come, all right, he cut Divine Mother into two. Where did he put those two pieces? And then, where did he wipe that sword? And then, where did he go? All these questions will arise in the mind. In our experience, this is our normal experience. What does it really mean? It means the mind became totally free from every single thought, including that of the God. Any God. Kali is only an example. It could be Krishna, Mirabai. What do you think she is thinking about? Only Krishna. And if it is Tulasidas, what do you think he is thinking about? Only Rama. So every saint has got his own favorite form of God, same God, but different dress. Yeah, we are discussing, you know, Ishtadevata Siddhanta. This is called, every devotee wants to see God in a particular form. So Hanuman, he wants to see God in Rama's dress. Rama's dress. So this Rama is the greatest actor in this world. He has got the biggest green room behind the stage. So Hanuman goes there and says, "See, it's Lord Vishnu." Says, "No, no, I don't like this dress." "All right, what dress do you want to see?" "I want, you know, that Rama's dress." "Okay." He goes inside, changes, takes off Vishnu's dress, puts there and puts on Rama's form. "Are you happy now?" "Very happy." And immediately Uddhava comes. "I don't like this dress." "What do you like?" "I want Krishna." "All right." He will go into the green room, put on that dress, Krishna's dress. "Are you happy now?" You should see N.T. Ramarao. Greatest actor, you know. Yeah, very famous. So, immediately he puts Krishna dress and he comes. "I want Kali dress." "Kali, any dress." And he's a terrible ventriloquist. He can speak in the voice of Kali, Rama, Krishna, any. You just have to ask. So, one man goes, "What form you like?" "I don't like any dress." "So, just be dressless." "All right." So, what do you see? I see Andhakar Devchi. I see darkness, blankness, you know, form. You can't see formlessness. But that is some people don't want to see form. So this is the truth. Only one God with various forms. What is the point we are discussing? You cannot do Sharanagati. All that you can do is you go to the cliff and then take a jump. And where you fall, that is you don't know. But you will fall in the ocean of God. Become one. Sachidananda. That is why it is called flight of the alone to the alone. Sarvadharman parityajya. What is the meaning? Just now we discussed.
Give up your body and
give up
association.
that you are the thought, that you are the body and you are the mind. Can you do that? You can't really do that. But what can you do? You intend to do. Oh Lord, I want to give up my body consciousness. I want to give up my mind consciousness. Sincerely, 100%. Then God will take away your dress. And along with the dress, address also goes. No dress, there is also no address. Then what is your address? God's address. He is everywhere. You can have any name. You can have any form. You are everywhere. Every place is a address of God. This is the idea. With this, the teaching has come to an end. Then the next he is telling, see Arjuna, I taught you all these things. You also realize. But don't go on telling these things to everybody. Why? Because if you go on telling these things, you will not benefit people. That's why don't discuss these sacred things with people who have no sympathy with you. They will ridicule you. A devotee should never go and wants to say, I know certain good things. I want to do good to this world. So why not I convey these ideas to some people? Only find out whether they are inclined at least to receive them. So this is what he says. So, and then if you find somebody who is ready to receive those teachings, and if you do not convey these teachings to them, then you are not a devotee. That is what he is telling. That he who does this, he is the most wonderful person. Priyakrut tamaha. There is nobody among men who is so dear to me. And who is that? A person who conveys, propagates these teachings to willing devotees. Because you, it is your obligation. You received it from me. It is the obligation for you to pass it on to other people who are in need of it. This is called Guru Parampara system. From Guru to the disciple, from the disciple. That continuation is still continuing. So here also by the implication says who is fit to receive and who is not fit to receive. Adhikar. It is a Vedantic requirement. So then he is praising the teacher. What is he saying? One who teaches this Gita to devotees who are willing to receive it. He is the most respectable person, very, very dear to me. Not only that, he also says, the student who receives this with the greatest Shraddha, he is also very dear to me. Why? Because, you know, the first student, afterwards what does he become? No, before becoming teacher, he will go to God. He will realize God. First you receive the teaching, then you practice them, you realize God, and after realizing God, you have a right to pass it on to other people. So that is called Jnana Yajna. You look at this verse number 70. He says, whoever studies this conversation, adhyeshyate cha yayimam dharmyam samvadam avayoh. Jnana Yajnena. This is called Jnana Yajna. Why Jnana Yajna? There is a Dravya Yajna, there is a Jnana Yajna. Dravya Yajna means you put some materials in the fire. What is this Yajna called? Jnana Yajna. Jnana is passed from the Guru to the teacher. Tena aham ishtaha. My worship is done in the form of this. Then he says, Shraddhavan anasuyasya sruniyadapi yonaraha sopi mukta shubhan lokan prapnayat punya karmana. So even if somebody listens to these teachings with faith, what happens? If he wants happiness, he will go to higher worlds. But if he wants spirituality, he will come to me. Depends upon what the motivation. So even if you want to enjoy the world, then... So just briefly I am telling, what is this the Lord is conveying? Just by hearing the Gita, you will be happy in this world? Yes. How? So just I will give you an example, you know. What is the problem? What is our problems? Mind. Mind. Misunderstanding. That's why he says you control your mind. With a controlled mind, wherever you be, you will be the happiest person. If you do not control your mind, wherever you are a most unhappy person in this world. So, these points were given in the past chapters. I'll just mention only one, otherwise we cannot complete. The idea is, what is yoga? Is defined in three special words by Lord Krishna in this Bhagavad Gita. Three words. The first word is Samatvam Yoga Vichyate. The second word is Yogaha Karmasu Kaushalam. The third is that even among the even when you are in the midst of the most unhappy circumstances, you will still remain happiest person on earth. That is possible only by yoga. So now we will take only one word or even two. Samatvam. What is samatvam? Balance. You will never, a yogi never loses balance. Whether good circumstance, bad circumstance, his mind remains the same way, like a compass which always points to the north. Whether it's stormy weather or calm weather, and whichever direction it will point. The second example would be that yogaha karmasu kaushalam. Dexterity means what? A yogi can do the same job very quickly, very efficiently, and because he is able to focus on the job that he is doing. And even if a businessman will become a better businessman, a student becomes a better student, a driver becomes a better driver. So even a pickpocket becomes
better pickpocket.
Yeah. Because it is what a concentration he has to pay. The slightest inattention, immediately he will be caught. He is much better psychologist than any one of us. Oh my God, how quickly they can cut your pockets. And very rarely people can catch hold of them. So that is how yoga can help us under all circumstances, not only spiritually, but even in facing normal day-to-day situations. People think spirituality is only for special type of people. No. Spirituality can help us in every situation in our life. Suppose a student has better concentration. He becomes a better student. Suppose you are cooking. Your cooking will be much better if you concentrate on that job. And focusing on the job is part of the yoga. And samatvam means what? I do my best. What turns out to be, that it depends upon God's circumstances. So I am not much disturbed. I did my best. This is the idea. Then the Lord asks, only question the Lord asks all the time, either Arjuna was asking. Now the Lord is asking, have you heard my teaching? Kachchide etat shrutam partha. Vayikagrena chetasa kaschid agnana sammoha punanastaste dhananjaya. Have you heard my teachings with one-pointed mind? What is the proof that you heard? Simply suppose, yes, 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 I heard. Would it be the proof? No. If you had heard, then your ignorance must have been destroyed by now, because I gave you light. So, the categorical answer this Arjuna gives is Nashto Mohaha, my delusion is gone. Smritir Labdha. Smriti, that is the most wonderful word. Smriti means what? Now I remember who I am. Previously, what are you talking? I am Arjuna. I am somebody X, Y, Z. Now what are you telling? I am Atman. That is called Smriti. We all have that smriti. Previously I am telling, I am so and so. I am so and so. Now, what am I saying? I am. There is no identity with anything. That is our real smriti. So we are explaining, I am God, I am Brahman, I am pure consciousness, I am the Atman, whatever name you give. You see, the matter is, I am. So if I am, then everything is me. I am everything. Because if you strip what comes after I am, what is the difference between a harmonium is? This is. This is a harmonium.
Yeah.
This is a carpet. Yeah. So just to put a this is. Now, will anybody know what we are talking about? Nobody will know the difference.
No.
If you say this is harmonium, okay, that's harmonium. If you say this is, your name, you say it a billion times. What is the meaning? Only one meaning. This is. There is something. That's all. Yeah. Nothing else. That is the state that's called I am. That's why God says to Moses, I am that I am. Beautiful word. So with this, the Bhagavad Gita, this has come to an end. Finished. Conversation between Arjuna and Krishna has come to an end. The first question was Arjuna's. The last answer was also Arjuna's. With this, finished. Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna and Krishna go off the stage. Then Sanjaya comes. The Sanjaya now is in Hastinapura with King Dhritarashtra. Then he is recollecting. Oh, what a good fortune it is. Then he is telling, this is how I have heard this wonderful dialogue between Vasudeva and the high-souled Arjuna that causes my hair to stand on end. But how did you come to know? Through the grace of Vyasa, I have heard. Because he had given him a huge television, TV. He donated one TV, wireless TV. Whatever is happening here, that all that thing, you can know there. Not only wireless TV. By Vyasa's grace, he could also understand what is going on in Arjuna's mind. And what is going on in Sri Krishna's mind, he could understand. Then he says, O King, recalling often this wonderful and sacred dialogue between Keshava and Arjuna, I rejoice again and again. And as I repeatedly recall that most wonderful form of Hari, great is my wonder, O King, and I rejoice again and again. What is he referring to here?
Vishwarupa
Darshana, 11th chapter. Oh, that is the universal vision. What does universal vision mean?
That God is everywhere.
Seeing God in everything, as everyone. That is called universal vision. Then the conclusion in the comes. Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna, Yatra Partho Dhanottaraha, Tatra Sri Vijayaha, Bhutihi, Nitihi, Dhruva. Matihi Mama. He says, where there is Sri Krishna, the Lord of Yoga, and where there is Partha, the wielder of the bow, there are sure fortune, victory, prosperity, and statesmanship. This is my conclusion. Whose conclusion?
Sanjaya's
conclusion. So what is this? Very briefly, Yogeshwaraha means what? Where there is yoga, there is Yogeshwara. For us, we are not yogis. That's why when we think of God, God is not there. God is there, but we are not able to see. Why? Because there is no ability to see. The ability to see God is called yoga. Through yoga means, I put on special contact lenses. Divyam dadamite chakshu pashyame yoga vaishwaram. These are most wonderful contact lenses. The moment you put on the contact lenses, your vision becomes 20-20. You can see immediately God. You can see in everything, you see God only, nothing else. So that is called yogesh. Where a devotee is there, there will be God. A devotion is yoga. When a man, he practices bhakti, he is called as bhakta. Otherwise, he is not a bhakta, he is an ordinary man. So that bhakti yoga is the yoga. Man plus yoga, there God will be present, as if present there. That is called Yatra Yogeshwaraha Krishna. Also, it means we can only attain yoga by His grace, because God is Yogeshwara, God is also called Yogeshwara. Yogeshwara means Lord of Yoga. Yogeshwara means Lord of the Yogis. So, how does a person become yogi? By the grace of God only. So, where God bestows His grace, there the devotee becomes a yogi. Otherwise, he won't become a yogi. So, there must, where there is sincere devotion, there must be God. So, where there is God, yatra partho dhanurdhara. Dhanu means what? Weapon. Bow. Bow is a weapon. What does this mean? If you want to be a yogi, you must protect yourself from all distractions. For that protection from the distractions, to keep a watch, you need a dhanu. Whenever a stray thought comes, immediately you say, no, I don't want you. That weapon which protects us from distracting thoughts, that is called, allegorically called here, dhanu. Dhanu. So, when we have to be alert, this is called self-effort, in other words. Where there is divine grace and self-effort, so there, what would be the result? Shrihi. What is the first thing? There will be prosperity. Vijayaha. There will be success. Prosperity is different, success is different. This I am not going to speak now. So, but these are two separate things. There may be prosperity, there may be no success. There may be success, there may be no prosperity. Briefly, what it means is, what is success? What makes a person progress in life, that is success. What makes a person progress in life? What is progress in life? A person must improve in goodness, wisdom, and happiness. If you are not good, if you are not wise, if you are not happy, then what will all the wealth do in this world to you? You may be the most wealthy person in this world. That is not success, that is prosperity. But it is not, you are not success, you are a failure. But you may be a most successful, you may not have anything, but you may have wonderful goodness, wonderful wisdom, and wonderful happiness. Like all the saints, Ram, Krishna, Holy Mother, Swami Vivekananda, outwardly what prosperity did they? But they had that success. So, where there is these two, self-effort and grace, there will be vijayaha. Bhutihi, there will be also name, fame, and all those things will be there. So, neetihi. Neeti means what? That common sense, that practical Vedantic wisdom, that Vedanta. That is, oh, I am a devotee. So, how do I deal with this situation? That is called neeti. Here he translates statesmanship. It is not a good translation. The real thing, neeti means morality. Neeti means dharma. There will be dharma. Dharma, common sense. That is called dharma, common sense, practical. So, wherever this self-effort will be there, whatever you want, you will get. Do you want the worldly something? You will get. You want spirituality? You will get. You want to go to heaven? You will get. Whatever you want, you will get. You will be successful. You will be prosperous. That is a wonderful concept which needs to be explored, but we are not going to do it. With this verse, Bhagavad Gita is over. So, briefly, again to recollect, very briefly, what does Bhagavad Gita teach according to Ramakrishna? Tyaga. What is Tyaga? Give up your false identity, false dress. Put on your real dress. What is the real dress? Brahman dress. I am Brahman. How you have forgotten, how to recollect, how to get back your dress? Four parts. Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Raja Yoga, Jnana Yoga. Practice to the best of your ability. However much you practice, you will never succeed unless there is the grace of God. In the end, the ultimate sadhana is to surrender oneself to the Divine Lord. This Sharanagati has been very beautifully explained by Lord Acharya Ramanuja in six characteristics in a verse. I think I have already told you. Anukulasya sankalpaha pratikulasya varjanam rakshishyasiti vishvasaha goptritva varanam atma nikshepaha karpanye iti shadvidha sharanagatihi. Very briefly translated, that I will do only what pleases the Lord. I will never ever do what displeases the Lord. And I have faith only, I am convinced, only God can save me. Nobody else can save me. And I choose God to be my protector. And I transfer all my responsibilities to Him. And thereafter, remain ever in a mood of greatest humility. These are the six characteristics of Sharanagati. Ultimately, this Bhagavad Gita teaching ends in Sharanagati. This is the most wonderful verse that we need to remember again and again. So if you do Sharanagati, God will look after you. Whatever you need, everything God will bring. He will look after you. He will protect you. Ultimately, He will draw you unto Himself. You will become He will become you. This is the message Ramakrishna also wanted to convey. This is the message Holy Mother conveys to us. This is the message Swami Vivekananda conveys. How do we know? Because every day singing, Swami Vivekananda composed, Tasmat Vameva Sharanam Mama Dina Bandhu. Also in the Sarvamangala, Sharanagata Dinartha Paritrana Parayana Sarvasya Arti Hare Devi Narayani Namaste. May Bhagavan Sri Krishna, may Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swamiji bless us with devotion, bless us with steadfastness, bless us with their grace so that we become better devotees and attain our real nature. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Now I would very briefly like to answer a question which was posed yesterday. When we surrender ourselves totally to God, that was what we talked yesterday and today also. Then the question was, suppose there is a murderer and he commits a gruesome murder. Then he becomes aware what he did. Then he surrenders himself to God. Now the question I think is, what is going to happen to that person? What is going to happen to all that, you know, murderous act and the resultant papa, etc.? One by one we will do. First of all, what happens to him when he takes real sincere surrender to Him? What happens? So suppose some American has committed a murder. Then he slips into India and gets a new passport, Indian passport, and disappears among sadhus or brahmacharis in a Swami Sarva Hitananda. He takes a name and disappears. After that, don't tell to anybody. After that, no American can trace him. Finished, is gone forever. Like that, a murderer will become one with God. We are not happy because he committed a murder. Now, according to the law of karma, it is the destiny of the person to die because that is how his karma decided. So, in any case, it will happen whether that person kills or somebody else kills. He will be murdered. This is the law, I'm telling, the law of karma. Don't argue with me saying I don't believe in it. I'm telling what our scripture tells us. Then what happens to that sinful act? It is a sinful act. What happens to that sinful act? Now, if the murderer knows that I am an instrument to do his own prarabdha, bring about his own prarabdha. He only a yogi can have that attitude. He will not have the papa. He simply carried out what he was supposed to carry out as an instrument, like Arjuna. But suppose he thinks, no, I am the doer. I am the murderer. I don't like him, so I murder, without knowing that he was chosen as an instrument. What happens? So he gets papa. But now he becomes scot-free. And India is not going to extradite him to USA. And Miss God is not, is going to send him to experience his papa. What happens is papa. We also assume he must have done some punya also. Because otherwise, how could he go to God? A murderer cannot simply go to God unless he has some tremendous good things. So that is implied in your question. I don't know whether you thought about it. Because if you take Sharanagati, that means he must be a great devotee of God. So our scripture gives, provides an answer. Take it with a pinch of salt if you wish. He says, anybody, any saint, as soon as he becomes a jnani, gets self-knowledge, he is liberated. Nothing to do with his papa or punya, because he doesn't think I have a body or mind. Let me complete. So his punya and papa remain. What happens to him? So this scripture tells, those who serve him, the punya goes, they will be distributed. Somebody served him 75%, 75% punya goes to him. Somebody served him 10%, like that all the punya will go to those who serve him. And all those who criticize him, all the papa will go to them. This is what the scripture is telling. So the papa is distributed to the people who are his enemies, who pull him down, who dishonor him, who think. The punya goes to the people who are his devotees, who served him, etc. Thus the punya and papa, he doesn't know anything about it. So he is already liberated. Like a person who dies, a rich man dies, you know, his relatives, they will get whatever he is, they will be distributed according to the hierarchical order, okay? So this is the answer. But the real answer is, all these questions come only when we do not know the reality. The reality is, there is only one reality. What is that?
God.
When there is only God, who is a murderer? Who is the murderer? What is the meaning of papa and all those things? So this is the true answer. That is why the Lord says, we also discussed it. So a person who does not have this egotism, even if he kills all the three worlds, hatva apisa iman lokan, he will not get nani badhyate, he would not be bound. Just in the 18th chapter only we discussed. Because he is not thinking, I am the doer. The thing is, those who have got the sense, I am the doer, even the law, any country's law, punishes only the person who has that feeling, I am the doer, I have committed this crime, only they will punish him. Suppose a madcap, he doesn't know, he doesn't say, I did it. He may say, but he doesn't know. A child may kill somebody by accident, or even deliberately also. You know, a temporary anger. He takes a gun. Dad, I don't like you. I will shoot you. But the law prevents punishing such a child. You know why? He has not developed the real sense of what he is talking about. So this is the answer. Nothing is real in this world. It is all a play. So therefore, there is no sin at all. But from our point, we demand justice. So for that, the answer is, if he has really become a devotee, had attained self-knowledge. Sharanagati means what? He attained self-knowledge. So he doesn't say, I am the body-mind. Therefore, this sin doesn't touch him. Then what happens? Sin is there. So that goes to the people who criticize. That's why Navar criticizes sadhu. That is what the scripture tells. But I teach that criticize me as much as you want. Because all my papa. You are taking away, you are requesting, you are begging, give me a little bit of your papa like that. If you want to serve me, criticize me. Then you will be unhappily, I will give you. No, no, I don't, it's all kept open. It's first come, first. You can choose how much you want. So you see, this is the answer. I don't know whether I satisfy you, but this is the answer. Okay, few minutes. Anybody has got any doubts or clarifications? I will be happy. Yes, please.
I got my answer. I was just, you explained. I was just telling, if he was a one-time murderer, then went to India. In India, he did the another murder. But you answered that question. In free world, even if he is a murderer.
Yeah. And if he doesn't have the feeling I am doing, then even the normal law doesn't punish. If he is a madcap, he will be put in a lunatic asylum. A child, he will be kept away from dangerous weapons. But there is the law, after 14 or 16 something, he will be there.
Maharaj, I'm confused that the last two lines of verse 71.
What is that?
Makes it sound like the ones about Shubhan Lokan. Huh. Makes it sound like the... like moksha leads to heavens, and I had always thought that sort of moksha is transcends even heavens, but the lines make it sound like
no. Let moksha. Me explain it to you. What is the context? The context is he who studies Gita with Shraddha, bhakti, with faith and devotion, so he gets a good result. Which result does he get? That is the question. The Lord is telling, if that reciter wants to enjoy any vasanas are left out, I want to enjoy heavenly happinesses. Such a person, Shubhan Lokan Praknuyat, means he will go to higher worlds of enjoyment and he will enjoy. But if the same person says, I do not want this enjoyment, what I want is liberation, he will get liberation. Yes.
So Maharaj, you said prosperity is all material wealth. Success,
yes,
and prosperity.
Whatever.
Maharaj,
in
all
this
divine
world.
Divine qualities, is that not Sri as well? The divine qualities?
Yes.
That is also prosperity.
What I wanted to explain to you, that whatever, wherever these two are present, that is, the idea is, by sitting, we will not get anything. We have to be very active, self-effort. But, without the grace of God, your self-effort will be absolutely useless. But this theory is not a good theory. I mean, it's an illogical theory. Self-effort itself is the grace of God. Only God gives us the ability to do self-effort in the form of the desire and then giving the instruments, etc. So, what God telling is, I have already given you the good understanding. I gave you what is the knowledge, the understanding, what is good and what is bad. I gave you the instruments. Now you are free to forge your own fate. So, if a man wants something in this world, he will get. If the same person wants divine grace, so that he could be liberated, he could have self-knowledge, then God will give him that. In that sense, you can say, prosperity means spiritual wealth, Upanishadic wealth. So, he will give what a devotee wants. Why is it? Because all devotees are not in the same category. That's why there are four devotees. See, those distressed devotees, application devotees, then inquiring devotees, and knowing devotees.
Yeah.
You know, the second category, application devotees. I will go on applying. I want a car. I want a wife. I want a husband. I want children. I want a job. I want this. I want this. But every time an application. Yeah.
Vishwarupa Sandarshana time, Arjuna got scared.
Yeah.
And Sanjaya is relaying word by word, act by act, every.
He also had Vishwarupa Darshana.
Yeah. So he didn't get scared?
No, he didn't. He was a very wise man. And he was a lot distance. Here it was very hot.
Because he says that Rupam. The more and more I
think about it. I am getting these auripulations because the same thing can be viewed by different people.
Mm-hmm.
Even this Vishwarupa was given by Krishna
and
to Mother Yashoda.
Yeah.
Yes.
She saw in his mouth she saw one after the endless worlds, endless Yashodas. Endless Krishnas. This universal vision he also gave to Dhritarashtra.
Mm-hmm.
Because they wanted to bind him.
Uh-huh.
And he showed himself. But Duryodhana said, this is a trick.
Mm-hmm. Maya.
This is a trick. You know, Sri Ramakrishna was going in a horse carriage to a devotee's house. And then he was getting down. Unfortunately, there were some drunkards nearby. So they were remarking that this man had really is drunk. Our drinking is nothing. Yeah, one fellow was telling, don't you drink any more. Already you look very fuzzy. So Sri Ramakrishna heard it many times. He says, you know, that is, they know of this kind of movement only when a person is drunk. So they are judging Sri Ramakrishna from their own standards. Yeah. But I did not add the mashala. The mashala is, you know, the devotee is like a iron fortress. They were protecting Sri Ramakrishna. Because those devotees, otherwise they would have come, sir, what brand of drink you have? Give us that address. Yeah. In fact, that happened to one devotee. Yeah. You know that? This devotee came to Sri Ramakrishna. And Sri Ramakrishna asked him, what do you want? And he said, you know, my throat is parched. Can you give me something to make it cool? He was a drunkard.
Super drunk.
He was asking Sri Ramakrishna for a drink. He was a great devotee later on. Sri Ramakrishna said, yes, I can give you, but can you stand? Because this is a very powerful drink. The man said, is it British made?
Locally made.
Sri Ramakrishna said, no, this is purely local made. But very powerful. And once you drink this, you will never again go back to the other brand. This is a one-way traffic. Then he thought a little and said, yes, I want a little. Then Sri Ramakrishna touched him. After that,
was
totally transformed. Yeah. There's a song also there. Ami Shura Pan Khai Ne Jai Kali Bole Sudha.
Sudha
Khai Jai Kali Bole. There's a song either. I don't drink ordinary wine. I drink the wine of the Divine Mother by uttering the name of the Divine Mother. Jai Kali Bole. Sudha means Amrita, nectar. And once this is taken, man becomes totally intoxicated for life. Yeah, funny things. So, what brought the subject?
Vishwarupa Sandarshana.
Vishwarupa Sandarshana. Every man takes it, interprets it in his or her own way. And in this connection also, that Gopala's mother, it's a marvelous story of spiritual progress step by step. First, she had the vision of Sri Ramakrishna. Then she had the vision of Gopala. Krishna. Bala, boy, child Krishna. And then that child Krishna was entering into Sri Ramakrishna, coming out, identifying that you must consider this person also as Krishna. This is me. This is me. But the form is different. It's not Gopala's form. So, Gopala's mother understood the implication and started calling my Gopala. That's why she is known as Gopala. And he used to address her as Ma. So that is how he came, Gopala's mother. Then after a few days, this Gopala started entering into other disciples' bodies. Swami, later on Swami Brahmananda, Swami Vivekananda, Swami Shivananda, etc. One by one. He will enter into it. By this time, Gopala's mother has been conditioned. Gopala enters means you must look upon this being as Gopala from now onwards, as Krishna himself. Like that, she then identified everybody as Gopala who were near Sri Ramakrishna. After some time, there was a chariot festival at Kamarhati. And then there this, not Kamarhati, Panihati. Then Sri Ramakrishna, Gopalarma went to that place. That day, she had a universe. She saw everything she saw there, the manifestation of Gopala. The chariot, the images, the priests, the people, the devotees who came to witness that chariot festival. In everybody, she was seeing her Gopala. That day, her vision is complete. From that day onwards, she knows that whatever she sees is nothing but Gopala. That is the final aim of all spiritual practice, to see the Lord in everything. Krishna means, Gopala means God, to see God, not Krishna. He is, if you want to see him as Rama, he will appear as Rama. If you want to see him as Kali, he will appear as Kali. This is the idea. See. So, this is real Sharanagati. Alright. What else? Okay. We will conclude because this is the last session. Usually, we conclude with singing that song. Gahore Jai Jai.